In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior! Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, to hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your bronies,
bringing twilight sparkles to the world of comic books.
I have no idea what that means.
That's a My Little Pony brony reference, you know.
Oh, I get right.
I'm sure you do know. You're just trying to pretend that you know.
Because no, I didn't know what a Twilight Sparkle was.
Well, you know what a brony was.
I knew what a brony was, okay, but right. I didn't realize that Twilight Sparkle was a part of the brony universe.
Yeah, I don't really know either, but yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Chris, the fact that you and I don't know a lot speaks volumes to the show. And you know what? And it's a winning formula because, again, comic culture, if I can boast.
Yes.
May I boast?
Please.
We've helped CFMU, if not single-handedly.
Well, absolutely, yes.
Win, again, the Hamilton Radio Station of the Year.
Yes.
Congratulations to all the...
Jamie Tennant. And all the wonderful people that... put together this fabulous radio station.
The talented people that are put together this radio station and the talented hosts that deliver the content.
Absolutely.
For this
Absolutely.
Winning radio station.
Yes.
Good work, everybody. The CFMU team.
Yes, go team.
Go team.
All right.
You know, Mac is kicking butt. The Marauders are kicking butt. And CFMU is kicking butt.
Absolutely. You know what? Kicking the butt on the air.
Yes.
Air
butt on the field and butt on the air.
Air butt.
Air butt, yeah.
Wasn't that a really bad movie in the like 90s or 80s? Oh, it's Air Bud. Sorry.
Air Bud. Right.
Yeah. Either way, it was bad.
Yeah, Air Butt.
Yeah.
I get that on weekends sometimes. The Taco Bell drive-thru, Chris,
yeah,
is the worst for that.
Yeah. I hate it when you get Air Butt.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, listen.
Hey, we got a lot of new comics to talk about.
Yeah, somehow we got off track.
Okay, so...
And what do we usually do at the beginning?
Well, normally we have a sponsor.
Oh, we have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor. New this week is brought to you by Punching First and Asking Questions Later. Don't talk out your problems, kids. Solve them the comic book way.
Attaboy.
Yes. You know what I always love about new comics? When heroes first meet for the first time, they always got to fight. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
And I like how even in the Marvel Avengers movie, they've continued that tradition.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that.
Hey, remember the old Spidey Marvel team ups and stuff? Usually they start like they misunderstand each other.
Yeah.
It's a brouhaha.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, we're on the same side.
Oh, I didn't
Let's
realize.
Let's solve this problem together.
That's right. Let's go beat Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Yes.
Right on. And all right.
Speaking of Doc Ock, we do have a few. I've actually got. You know what, normally, how many comics do we normally talk about each week? Like three?
Two, three? Okay, three.
I've got six here I want to talk
six?
About.
Six?
I know.
What are you doing, Chris?
I know.
You're overloading the circuits.
I really am. So let's start with the Marvel comics, because I've got three of them here today.
Three.
Now, first and foremost, we've got to talk about Amazing Spider-Man number 698. Now, the internet...
Chris, be careful when you talk about this one.
Okay.
Because apparently... Every page, there's a spoiler.
Well, okay, here's the thing. So
the
internet has been abuzz with making sure that the plots are not being given away. Dan Slott himself has been saying if anybody ever gives away the ending to this comic anywhere like on a news site or something like a website or anything like that, he will forever ban them from his blog or from something. I don't
know
what it is. But,
that'll show them.
Anyways, wow, big shocking ending.
Is it?
I don't
Can I see.
I'm not, obviously not going to say anything.
Okay, don't say anything.
But big shocking ending. You might have to read the last couple pages to actually take a look at it.
I don't have time for that, Chris. Sorry.
But it's a great book. Very interesting what's happening. I don't know. I can't give it away on the air, but you know what? I'm surprised that they're doing this with so few issues left before, because it's being ended. It's ending issue 700, right?
Right.
So, and I'm surprised that they're doing this so with so few issues left to go. But wow, what a weird and crazy ending it's going to be. Yeah, Spider-Man fans, you're going to love it. That's all I got to say.
Now, let me ask you a question. Sure. In terms of comic books, you know, the internet is abuzz.
It is.
With what? My question is, can anything surprise anybody in comics anymore?
Yes and no. Yes really? And no. Yeah. Because there's still stereotypes that you attribute to certain characters.
Traditions. Yeah.
And I think anytime something goes so far against a particular tradition, it's shocking, right?
Chris, what are you saying?
I can't give out
no,
anymore.
You can't. Okay,
I just
stop.
I can't do it.
I can tell you're stressed by this.
I am.
Very exciting, though. So, Amazing Spider-Man number 698.
Yes.
By the way, I'm sure we will pan number 700 when it comes out.
I'm sure we will.
But I hate this number 700 last issue gimmick.
Yeah, I hate it.
Well, but anyway, 698 apparently is the cat's meow.
Well, of course.
So bee's knees.
The bee's knees. It has been the bee's knees for a while now.
Head into your local comic book shop and pick that up.
Okay, so next up, now that is, Spider-Man is not part of the Marvel Now yet. Like the whole Marvel Now rebirth of the Marvel comics, right?
That's confusing when you say that.
But you understand what I'm talking about, though, right?
I think so.
Okay,
think
so the Marvel Now comics, like Spider-Man is a Marvel comic, but now Marvel is producing the Marvel Now comics,
right?
Which is all the number ones.
Right, so there's some not-nows.
Not-nows.
And nows.
And nows.
Right.
And then there's
okay. And this, just, what you have now is a now?
Now I have a now.
Right.
And this is the Marvel Now Captain America number one. By Rick Remender and John Romita. Now it's interesting, you know. I saw that it was John Romita,
sure.
And I got really excited,
of course.
Because I thought it was going to be John Romita Senior.
Yeah,
but it's actually John Romita Junior, which is just as good.
Yeah,
well, maybe not quite as good, but
right.
It's still good. But I guess he's just going by John Romita now,
sure.
Whereas opposed to John Romita Junior.
Right.
Does a great job on Cap, but you know what? I got to say, you know, I love the guy's artwork. I always loved John Romita's work for a long time,
mm-hmm.
Especially on Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Great, great stuff on Daredevil. But, you know, I got to say that I don't know. It seems like he's kind of phoning it in a bit, you know? I don't know. There's some scenes in there. It looks like art's not that great. It looks like a little rushed. Looks a little bit rushed.
Well, Chris, you know, these guys have deadlines.
I know. I'm just saying.
I think you're being a little harsh
on the guy. I probably am.
Right.
But only because I've seen the fantastic work that I've seen him do before. So I'm not basing it on anything but what his ability to do is before.
Fair enough.
So based on what I know, it seems like he's rushing it a little bit. It's still very good. It's still miles ahead of most people's artwork.
Right.
But it's, you know what it is? You know what it's like?
What is it?
It's like, it okay, like? So Steven Spielberg finally wins the Oscar for, like, Schindler's List.
Yeah.
You know, and now how is he supposed to go back and do fake Nazis for Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah,
you
right.
can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've already seen John Romita Jr. do amazing stuff on Daredevil.
Okay, no, I get it.
And, you know, it's hard to top that.
Right. That analogy was, like, way out there, but I think I got it. I think I understand. Listen, Captain America number one is hitting your local comic book shop today. Go in and check that out.
Okay, but we're not done with Marvels yet.
Oh.
Now, next up on the block, we've got Indestructible Hulk by Mark Waid and Lionel Yu. You know what?
Wait a minute.
Oh.
Not Incredible Hulk?
Not Incredible.
Did you read that wrong?
No, I did not. It clearly says the Indestructible Hulk.
Wow.
Number one. Part of the Marvel Now.
Now, what is that? Is that an adverb, adjective, pronoun?
That
what
would
is that?
Be
conjunction?
A
is that a conjunction?
Adjective.
An adjective?
Adjective?
Yeah.
Yes.
An adjective.
Is it because it helps to explain the noun, right? Whereas an adverb would help to explain the verb.
This is confusing. See, but...
Well, it's because you're ESL, right?
Right, I understand, yeah. But my point is this, is do these things matter? Like things... I mean,
Sure they do.
Do they really?
You and I have had, how many conversations have we had about the Spider-Man comics and the different adjectives that they attribute to the Spider-Man comics?
Well, there's only one really that matters.
Well,
amazing.
Okay, yeah, but this is my point. So
it is?
So, yeah, but like...
No, it's my point. Wait a minute, don't take my point and say it's your point. My point, it should be Incredible Hulk.
Okay, why not?
How'd that turn into your point?
Because I silently agreed with you and then wanted to make it my point.
I see where you're coming from now, you sneaky doggy. Yeah. But anyway.
Anyways, great book.
It starts with another I.
It does. Yeah. It does. Indestructible Hulk. It's a great looking book. You know what? I love Lionel Yu's artwork. And Mark Waid is a great writer. He's done awesome stuff with Daredevil. I didn't read the whole thing. I got to say, I read about half of it, and then we had to start the show, so I didn't get a chance to finish it. But you know what? From what I read, it was awesome.
Right. You know, just a thought came to me on these adjectives.
Okay.
Adjectives? Pronouns?
Adjectives.
Adjectives.
At least I think it is. Maybe, yeah. You know, I think it's an adjective.
They should do, the price guide.
Yeah.
Because I always used to price up comics, Chris, and I always used to go through the price guide.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hate it. I got to get, like Spectacular Spider-Man.
I know. It's...
They should do Spider-Man.
I agree.
And then you go to the Spider-Man section, and then you'll see Amazing.
Right.
Spectacular. Okay. Right before, after, Web of. All under Spider-Man. So when you're pricing out a comic, or you're trying to get some sort of value for a comic at a price guide,
right?
Everything's under Spider-Man.
Okay, I completely agree with you. Now, why is it so that, remember you and I had the same argument years ago in your store when we're arranging the Spider-Man comics? You said, oh no, the Amazing Spider-Man comics have to go under Amazing. Why can they not just be under Spider-Man and then you have Amazing, Spectacular, Web of?
It's just like contradict Walt Knight.
I'm just saying. I think this is one of the three times you fired me over.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think that might have been number two. You're disagreeing with me.
Yeah, right.
I guess I agree.
But
you see, I was torn between two lovers then.
Well, yes.
I was torn between tradition.
Exactly.
As you and I spoke of. And Amazing Spider-Man. And practicality.
And in your defense, the price guide has not changed, so neither should you.
Yes, don't go changing. Don't.
Anyways, so that is Indestructible Hulk.
Try to please me.
On the topic of that. That was Indestructible Hulk number one.
And Chris, where could they find that today?
At your local comic book stores, because we like to champion the local comic book
store. Indeed we do.
All right, DC Universe.
So we're on to DC
now. We're on to DC now. We're done with Marvel.
We're moving along here.
Slowly.
Yeah.
Slowly. DC Comics, DC Universe presents
DC Universe
Black Lightning and
presents.
Blue Devil, number 14. I thought this was a good-looking book, and I love the fact that they're, Blue Devil.
Black and blue, Chris.
Black and blue, right?
Black and blue.
Blue Devil has not been around for a long time. I like, they bring him back every once in a while. He's an obscure character. Love the character. Great-looking book. I highly recommend anybody picking this book up.
Right. Now, I know you won't know this, but why a blue devil? Aren't devils red?
Ah, right. It's a great question, and I do not know the answer to
Neither
that.
Neither do I. I apologize for putting you on the spot.
Do think I knew the answer at one point in my life.
Right.
When I was reading the DC Universe handbook.
Back in your quest for steel. I don't know. And what are these guys in the cover? They kind of look like zombies.
They're kind of like,
these Nimrods? What do you call them?
I think that's exactly what they are, Nimrods. Wait, Nibiru's.
Oh, Nibiru's.
Yes, the Nibiru's. I'm sure
they look like zombies, so I think these guys are trying to tap into
the whole zombie thing, but I think it's more like a demon type zombie thing,
right? Yeah,
and that's why they've
it's
got the
same, but it's different.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, listen. DC Universe presents Black Lightning,
right.
And Blue Devil,
right.
Number 14 at your local comic book shop today. Check that out. Looks cool.
All right. Then we've got. You know what? Let's save that one for later. Let's talk about Judge Dredd from IDW number one. Now, you know what? You and I talk about, we talk an awful lot about IDW.
We do.
They continue to publish great books from great franchises, and now all of a sudden, they've got Judge Dredd. Now, I'm not all that familiar with the writers and the artist. Well, you got Dwayne Swierczynski and Nelson Daniel are the main writer and artist. But then you've also got Paul Gulacy, who's been around for forever. He's also one of the artists in here. I got to say, so you know, so Paul Gillespie does the second half of the book. The first half, I don't know what to say. It looks like a book from the 1980s. It's chock full of Zippitone.
Chock full.
Chock full of Zippitone, and you know those little tiny Zippitones, those little tiny dots.
Yeah.
That makes it. You know, it was good for when they had newsprint comics because it helped with shading and the four color process.
Yep.
But now with high gloss digital coloring, there's no reason for it.
You don't need dots.
It just looks weird.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, you're right. There's definitely two different distinctive looks.
But Judge Dredd. So now we talked last week about the fact that there was the Judge Dredd movie, which we never talked about before.
Right.
And now this Judge Dredd comic. Is this mean that there's going to be a resurgence of Judge Dredd paraphernalia? Like,
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
You know why? I don't think anybody cares about Judge Dredd. No, really. I don't think Judge Dredd is a Doctor Who. Doctor Who somehow. You see. This is what I'm going to tell you.
Okay. What are you going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you. Doctor Who taps into nerddom.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Very well. Judge Dredd, I don't know who the hell they tap into, but they're not doing a good job of tapping into anybody.
You know what? They're trying to tap into the 1980s geekdom.
Is it?
Well, because Judge Dredd was fairly popular.
It was more hardcore, though. A lot of violent hardcore stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But the old 2000 AD comics, because it's a British comic, right? It's been around for forever.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, for...
You know, I believe our man Danny Chan probably has a collection.
You know what? You're probably right. I say,
Danny.
Danny.
Take out his 2000 ADs. I wonder, are they collectible, Danny? Are they collectible, the 2000
ADs? Let us know.
ADs?
Let
like,
us know.
Are they like back issues? Like if you have 2000 AD number one, first appearance of Judge Dredd or something.
Does anybody
care? Is it worth money in England? Right.
I'm sure it must be.
Yeah, I'm sure
yeah,
too.
Well, for
Danny,
sure.
Danny will tell us. Yeah, so I don't know if Judge Dredd is like they've tried. Judge Dredd is one of those ones they keep trying.
They keep on trying. Well,
it never sticks.
But you know what? There's going to be a new Judge Dredd Batman comic book coming out soon too.
But there was an old Judge Dredd Batman.
I know, but it did
comic.
Well at the time.
It did?
Well, 20 years ago when people cared about Judge Dredd.
Yeah, that deluxe format square
it was like
bound
$4.95.
Thing. Yeah. And I don't know if it did well or not.
I think it did okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, Judge Dredd. Please, hey, don't let Chris and I discourage you from going out and checking out Judge Dredd number one at
all
the
right.
local comic book shop.
And finally, we've got Spawn number 225. Now, I know we're talking a lot about comics, for new comics. Well, we had to mention this
Chris,
one.
Chris, we're talking a lot about new comics
a lot.
Segment called New Comics.
We really are.
Way too much, maybe, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
We don't think we've ever talked about six comics before.
No, we haven't.
So, Spawn number 225, parodying the Watchmen number one cover.
I thought this was, you know how they have the before Watchmen?
Right.
I was stalking the shelves yesterday.
Right.
And
like stalking as in like, you know, creeping them out, like looking at them, but like not
kinda.
Them... Okay.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, here's another stack of these before Watchmans.
Right.
And then I read
right.
it and I go, oh, no, that's not before Watchmen. That's Spawn. That's
right.
cool.
Yeah,
right?
absolutely. Yeah.
It's exactly kind of mirroring the classic.
Classic.
What's the title?
Well,
Watchmen.
Yeah,
yeah, Watchmen. The classic Watchmen covers.
With the happy face button.
The happy face.
And the little blood dripping.
And
yeah.
And the black stripe on the
yeah,
side.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Now, but now we of course it's an iconic cover that's now been parodied many times.
Yeah.
So I think it's cool that now Spawn likes to parody a lot of classic comic covers.
Yes, they
now,
do.
Now, but the most interesting thing about that is at the top of the comic they have 2012 election Romney wins.
Romney wins.
So now I don't know if they're doing some sort of alternate universe thing where Mitt Romney won the presidential election or what they're doing with him, but he actually does appear in the back of the book.
Right.
And he
does.
Oh, maybe. Sorry. Wait. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
He appears in the back of the
up.
Book.
Beep, beep, beep. You don't remember anything from the last 30
if
seconds.
If only, you know, we had those Men in Black things where it erased
minds.
Yeah.
I was trying that there, but you just stepped in.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Okay. So listen, Spawn number 225. The Romney Wins edition.
Yes.
Is at your local comic book shop today. And of course, you know, Chris and I just talked about, I think, 33 of them. But there are hundreds more coming out today.
More.
Please head into your local comic shop. Peruse the new this week section, please.
All right. Well, before we talk about any more comic book stuff, we got to go to a musical interlude. And you asked me before the show, you said you had a hankering for some Wonder Woman. And I said,
indeed, I do.
What better thing to have than some Wonder Woman on the show?
For freedom and democracy is you and the power you possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old black, white, and blue. Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman. Now the world is ready for you.
Chris, that is some sweet, sweet sounds of Burt Bacharach singing.
Burt Bacharach.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, so I was actually watching.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was watching how long that intro was.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a minute and a half.
Love it.
You know, never do they have minute and a half long intros in TV shows anymore.
Not anymore.
Right? No.
Not anymore.
Now, you're lucky if you get.
They need to bring them back.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Why not?
Yeah. I love it. Anyway, thanks, Chris. Thanks for that. I needed that Wonder Woman fix, and you delivered.
I mean, I'm here for you.
All right, Chris. Let's move on to Comic Culture Mailbag, and it is brought to you by making a list and checking it twice. Head into your local comics book shop, for all your holiday gift needs. I believe there was a typo there.
Probably.
It should be, head into your local comic book shop for all your holiday gift needs.
Right. Well, you did a fine job anyways.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Chris, let's talk about the comic book. I'll read it, actually. It's
right.
From Jennifer. She's from Hamilton here
The
Hammer.
Really? That's nice. Okay, good. All right.
Hey, Jen. Dear Walt and Chris, my husband enjoys comics and has a very extensive collection. What is a good Christmas gift for the comic geek that has everything, and I mean everything. Now here, Chris.
Everything.
Yeah.
Well, hold
on. Hold on, though. Like, this is. You can tell this is a female email,
right?
Even if she didn't give her name.
Okay.
Because it's like getting into late November, and she's already thinking of a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
So here's
a
guy's email that would be like December 22nd.
Exactly.
What do I do? What do I get?
I gotta get my wife a present. Think she'll like comics?
Yeah, I think she like. The new Batman?
I really want to read the new Batman. Do you think she'd like that?
Yeah. She'd love it, pal.
Yeah.
Go for it. Anyways,
that
so
is
Chris,
a great
help
question.
Help Jen out.
Great question.
I think so.
Now, here's my problem.
Here's your
Does
problem.
She really mean everything?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a lot of comic book stores.
You know, a wife's version of everything and a husband's version of
everything—completely different.
I once owned
over 15,000 comic books, and I didn't have everything.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So you know, there's a big difference between everything and everything.
Right. But you're absolutely right. But okay, let's pretend this guy has everything in comics.
Everything in comics.
So let's steer Jen away, I believe, from comics.
Away from actual comics books.
Right. Comics books.
Comics books.
Yeah. Jen. Your husband doesn't need comics books. Okay? He needs comics books related material.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to suggest for Jen, who's looking for non-comics books related material. I'm going to suggest statues.
Oh!
Statues.
Statues.
And or busts.
I'm sure he'd love busts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, statues can be expensive.
Yeah.
And so can busts.
Yeah, they're even more.
Good bust will cost you.
Tons.
Lots.
Yeah.
So here is the thing. Depending on how much they want to spend, do you want to spend like tens of dollars?
Oh, it's her husband.
Okay.
At least 50.
Okay, 50 bucks. So,
50's good.
You know, two action figures.
Two action figures or a nice, say, break the bank, do a $60 bust or something like that. So, Jen, what you should do is figure out which comics books your husband enjoys reading. Like, which is his favorite superhero or superheroine? And then get them, what would you call that?
Paraphernalia?
A paraphernalia, like
peripheral paraphernalia.
Peripheral type of product of the character. So if he's consuming, let's just say Spider-Man. Every month he gets his amazing Spider-Man and his spectacular and his avenging and his
web of
and all that stuff.
Which they don't make anymore.
Yeah. And then get him a, you know, Spider-Man Twister game.
You know what? Great idea. I've got one even better for you.
All right.
Okay. Here's what you do. Let's say he likes Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Forget the toys. Forget the busts. Three words. Mary Jane hat. Mary Jane in a Santa hat. That's all he needs. Mary Jane dressing up like Mary Jane.
Oh, so Jennifer should do a little comics books type of adventure for him.
Exactly.
Ah, Chris, so, I think you've hit the nail on the corner.
He wakes up Christmas morning, and she's under the mistletoe in a Spider-Man T-shirt and a Santa hat.
God.
I'm telling you.
The hot chocolate just got hotter. I'm telling you, the marshmallows are
melting.
Ah, that's exciting. See, that, Chris, is a good thing. So Jennifer. This is what Dr. Ruth Owen here is telling you, is take the comics books format and then do something.
Exactly.
Don't do nerd. He's already nerd. He's already comics books, okay? So don't do nerd, right? He's already comics books. So take the comics books and do something feminine.
Right.
Is that what you're saying, Chris? Yeah. See, yeah. I thought that's what you were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, okay. Because you just didn't know how to say
it.
Yeah,
you know what? You're my Wordsworth, right?
Right, so, Wordsworth. All right. Cyrano,
that's right.
All right. Jennifer, I hope that helped. I'm sure it didn't. I hope it helped. Anyway, thanks for the email.
All right, moving right along.
Yeah.
We got to go to some industry news.
All right. Do you want me to read the sponsor? Or you found
I'll do. I'll go do ahead. This one. Industry news is brought to you by the inevitable reboot of Howard the Duck. You don't want it. You didn't ask for it, but you'll be sure to get it sometimes after Avengers 4.
I think you may be onto something there.
You know, they did do a reboot of Howard the Duck not too long ago. Remember?
Yeah. I think, Chris, this is what I think. I think written well, drawn well. Mm-hmm. It would still be a terrible mistake. anyway, that's my opinion.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. Listen, let's talk about this. This was interesting. I'm on the internet thing there. I'm reading that the Tolkien people, the Tolkien estate, the grandchildren maybe.
Yeah, okay.
They're suing Warner and New Line Cinema and this Saul guy company for I don't know what they're suing them for, but it appears that there's a new thing called Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Ring online slot games. So it's like a gambling thing.
But they're using like Tolkien characters.
Tolkien characters.
You shall not win!
Yes! I have taken your money. Alas! Right. No, yes. That's terrible. See, I think I was a pirate there.
Arr, you matey. So you be stealing me golden rings.
Yes. You've taken my last token, have ya?
That's Tolkien, not token.
Right.
See what I did there?
Anyway, so they're going, hey, listen, J.R.R. Tolkien.
Right.
It's clean family fun.
Absolutely.
Don't be opening no brothel.
Tolkien is only
with a Tolkien Lord of the Ring.
Tolkien is only about ogres and dragons and blood and swordplay.
Decapitation. And degutting.
And drinking mead.
It's not about gambling.
It's not about gambling. No. Yeah. And elves and things.
And elves. But you know what? Good for them. Good for the Tolkien family for defending the honor of the Tolkien Empire.
That's true. Well, you know, and they've got the Hobbit coming out this Christmas.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be a whole buzz.
Well, you
got to
nip this at the bud, Chris.
Yes.
Because I heard word. Independent sources have emailed me.
Oh.
I've heard word that these guys were planning other ventures.
Oh, get out.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Lord of the Rings and Burgers. Doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't.
It doesn't make sense. So they were doing a Lord of the Rings reality show featuring like a plumber.
Oh,
yeah,
a
it
plumber.
Was really bad. Lord of the Rings. It'll hit you on the way home. Trust me. Lord of the Rings documentary.
I got that burning ring.
They're doing
fire.
A Lord of the Rings biography on Alexander Graham Bell. Yeah, which is like a terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Quasimodo. Yeah.
He really would be the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. You know, like I'm thinking, okay, the buck stops here.
Yeah, yeah,
stop
absolutely.
The madness.
Absolutely.
You know, get Lord of the Rings back to being Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
You know, with guys with hairy feet.
Yeah, you know, that's what Lord of the Rings really, that's what it's all about. Yeah, so. And people with large bows.
Excuse me?
Bows.
A bow. Oh,
bow,
right.
Like a bow and
okay,
arrow.
Right, yeah,
yeah
large
yeah.
bows. Right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Let's move that along because that went really well. Yeah, that was. There's no wonder why CFMU wins these awards.
Because of this fine quality programming.
Fine content like that.
Last Age of bit. Ultron. Age of Ultron. Let's just.
Who wrote that one? You?
No.
Oh, okay.
Marvel will launch the Age of Ultron, a major universe spanning crossover event next March. So now we all know that Marvel loves the multi spanning comic book. You know, the great big storylines, epic storylines.
Yeah,
you know,
story.
Like Secret
Invasion. Crossover events.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet, yeah. Secret Invasion, and Civil War.
Attacks.
Yeah, ooh, yeah. You had to go there, didn't you?
No, Galactic Storm.
Sure. Yeah, that was all those terrible books from the 90s. And
yeah.
Anyways, Age of Ultron is going to be written by Brian Michael Bendis.
Brian Malcolm?
Brian Malcolm. Oh, okay. Brian Michael Bendis with art by Brian Hitch on the first five issues. And then Carlos Pacheco and Brandon Peterson will do the art on issues 6 through 10.
Carlos Pacheco.
Now, he's an awesome artist. Yeah. I love all those artists, you know, I got to say. But here's the thing. So
here's the thing.
The storyline is going to be introduced in the Free Comic Book Day for Free Comic Book Day 2012.
Yep.
The Avengers Age of Ultron. Now, here's my thing. Here's my point.
What is your thing?
I can't tell you that. Yeah. But here's my point. What the heck are they doing with trying to launch a series based on a Free Comic Book Day comic that came out almost a year later?
Listen, bad planning.
Terrible planning.
Because usually note to Marvel executives, when you're planning the 2013 Free Comic Book Day comic
mm-hmm.
as a jump on point, try not to have 17 months in between the jump on.
Exactly.
You know?
Or are they trying to have something where, oh, nobody cared about that book back then, but now it'll be worth something, so now it's collectible, right?
I don't think so.
Because why would you do that? Why would
I think it was just bad planning. I think they wanted to do something, and then somebody came up with this brilliant Marvel Wow thing.
Marvel Wow!
Hello. Come on. Come back to me, Chris.
Sorry. Marvel Wow!
Anyway, this Marvel Wow thing has got everybody in a tither.
Tither.
And they're all excited about it.
I say, Danny Champion, is that a tither?
So maybe that all came about, you know, and they go, well, let's leave Ultron until later. Let's leave Ultron
until
later. You
right,
know?
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense that they put Ultron for, you know, because Free Comic Book Day is supposed to be about a jump on point for... You know, oh man, that was cool.
Exactly.
You know, when's
exactly.
it start?
When's it coming
right?
out? Yeah. Let's get it next month. Now, the only thing I can think of is that they wanted to push an Avengers comic for the Avengers movie that came out this year, right? So
right.
they decided to put out the Avengers Age of Ultron. But, you know, and I'm sure that you can get, you know, caught up with the regular storyline without knowing what happened in Age of Ultron. Yeah, the Free Comic Book Day version, but why even bother? Like,
yeah.
that's just
yeah. Fair enough.
I just don't get it.
Fair enough.
I just don't get it. All right.
Fair enough.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean,
anyway, Chris, Ultron is a great character.
I love Ultron.
And, yeah.
Love
and,
Ultron.
So they're going to do well with this, I hope. But yeah, it's too little, too late.
I agree.
Hope not.
I agree. All right. Well, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and we'll come back in about 50 seconds or so.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Wow. That is the... that William Shatner doing that?
Sure.
Yeah, because the overacting was just over the top.
But that's what you want for, you know, a DC.
Do you really, Chris? Do you?
Sure, why not?
I want realism, all right? Hey, Chris. So I was sitting at my computer there a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I got an email from editor-in-chief of comicbookdaily.com.
Oh, okay.
Scott Vanderploeg.
Oh, yeah.
Scott goes, hey, Walt, you know, stop playing your solitaire. And why don't you write a post about this Walking Dead comic, 9.9 grade out of 10.
Crazy.
It just sold for $10,100.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's a buzz on the internet.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know about it because I was playing Solitaire.
Right.
Actually, it wasn't Solitaire. It was...
Mahjong?
No, what's the one where... anyway, I forget the name of it.
Minesweeper?
No, yeah, Minesweeper. I love that game.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I checked into it, and indeed... a 9.9 copy of Walking Dead number one. Now, for people that are listening that don't know what a 9.9 copy is, you send comics down to this company in Florida called CGC Corporation. They grade them out of 10. Yeah, 10 is just like there's not an imperfection in the book. It's almost impossible to get a 10.
Right.
9.9s are almost as rare.
Right.
9.8s are relatively easy to get, relatively, for newer comics.
Right.
So,
okay.
For example, Walking Dead, there are, I think, I could be wrong. I'm going to be wrong, but it's going to be close.
Okay.
There are, I think, four 9.9s and like 800 9.8s.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So there's,
something like that. So 9.8s get about $1,500 because Walking Dead is like just
stupid
huge,
crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
But this 9.9 sold for $10,100.
That's insane.
Now, I did a little bit of digging while I was doing the research in it, and the cool part about it was on eBay. There was another 9.9 listed.
Okay.
And that was like a guy that just wanted to sell it. He didn't trust the auction. He had $9,800 on his.
Oh, okay.
And there were no bidders.
Oh.
It sat there for I don't know how long.
Right.
Two weeks.
So it wasn't an actual auction. He just had like a buy it now.
He just had to buy it now for $9,800.
Really?
Nobody was biting.
Yeah.
It just sat there and sat there. This one came along, and it was an auction that was ending at, I'm going to, again, lie, but it's like 11:22 in the morning.
Okay.
On a Wednesday.
It says here 11:24.
11:24. Yeah. Okay. So what happens is, you know how at the end now, I don't know if anybody listening has ever bought something on auction, and you always have that price in your head.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going above $3.
Right.
And you end up spending $4,200.
Yeah, right.
It's like, because you get into that flurry at the end. It's like, this
bidding
son
frenzy.
Of a bitch ain't going to outbid me.
That's
and then you, at the last 4 seconds, it skyrockets.
Yeah, bidding
frenzy,
yeah.
So this thing, which it just shot up to $10,100 in the last little bit. The interesting part about this is 2 minutes later, the other 9.8 that was posted at a buy it now for $9,800 sold.
So, now what is the mindset of the guy buying the one that was $9,800? Is he thinking, hey, one just sold for $10,100, I got a deal?
No, I'm going to tell you what the mindset is. That's the guy that got sniped at the end.
Right.
That's the guy that got sniped at the end.
Right.
That's one of the two or three guys that was in the hot and heavy
fury. That
wanted
to buy it anyways.
Oh, man, I just missed. And then he gets the last laugh, right?
Yeah.
I go, ha,
yeah.
ha.
Yeah, it's true.
I just saved $300.
So
he goes over and he casually goes over to the other guy because I'm sure he was aware of it and just quickly buys the other one. So two Walking Dead number ones, 9.9 versions, got, you know, $20,000 for all intents.
Now, here's another interesting point about the about that whole sale. The guy that sold the $10,100 version purchased that same book in August, so only a few months ago, for $7,200. So he made almost $3,000 in like
four months,
right? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good return
on your money.
And the thing is, you probably if you and I were covering that $7,200 purchase in August, because you and I are stupid, honestly, we would say, that guy's an idiot.
What's he doing buying that for so
that
much
guy's
money?
Just got, you know, $2,800 bucks in his pocket.
Exactly.
So he's not that much of an idiot, is he?
Clearly he is not.
Right.
Yeah. And now, here's the thing. So somebody actually buying that book and thinking to themselves, hey, this Walking Dead thing, it's not over. It's going to continue going for a few more years.
Well, you hope
it's only
so.
Going to get bigger.
You hope so.
So
you hope
why
so.
Not buy
you
that?
You hope so. I mean, you hope so. They are supply and demand is all about scarcity.
Right.
Okay. And here, though Walking Dead 7,200, I believe, was the amount that were printed in the first printing.
That's right, yeah.
And I believe, I would say 90% of them have survived just by, you know, random, you know, your wife.
I would say most of them are,
somebody spilled coffee on something or whatever. But, you know, 90% of them are still nice and probably 80% of them are beautiful.
Right.
Right.
Now, how many more books do you think of those are going to get graded 9.9s?
Here's the thing. Based on the – this is the way you have to do it. This is what a mathematician would do, Chris.
Mathematician.
Okay.
So what,
this is what a mathematician would do.
So how are you going to do it?
Well, like a mathematician.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. So you're figuring now – I believe – again, I don't have the figure in front of me, but based on the 9.8s and there's some 9.6s and 9.4s or whatever, there's going to be close to, let's say, 1,500 of these graded.
Okay.
So let's say it's 1,800, which represents – let's say it's 25% – of the books that are nice are graded.
Right, okay. So, that's 1,800.
So basically, if you just take, you know, the law of averages, there's going to be four times more 9.8s out there if all of them grade.
Right.
So it's going to go from 4 to 16.
Right.
Right. But all of them won't grade. It's just, it doesn't happen.
No, people don't.
So it might go from 4 to 8 or 4 to 9. But when we talk about scarcity, when we talk about rareness, there's a different animal with this CGC stuff, Chris, and it's called scarcity of grade.
Right.
So the book isn't relatively scarce because there's 5,000 of them floating around.
But
a 9.9 is scarce.
Right.
Right. And the market now, and collectors and investors are deeming this 9.9 a thing to own. And there are a handful of them. There are less than there are fingers on your hand right now, this book.
Right.
And the property is so huge, and there are so many people that enjoy the property.
Yep.
And a certain percentage of those people are well off or have disposable income.
Yep.
And they don't mind wanting to have that copy.
Now, interestingly enough, who wrote that article on CBD, on Comic Book Daily?
I did.
Oh, okay. So... you did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I'm so well versed in.
Well, sorry. There's something I read here on Comic Book Daily that I thought somebody else had written it. So, you also talked about New Mutants number 98, which is the first Deadpool. Okay.
Yes.
So this, they're talking about first Deadpool. It got CGC copy back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Got over $12,000 for it, but now that book is getting just over $6,000. So, you know, like...
Yeah. No, I see what you're reading there. That was me playing devil's advocate to myself in the article.
Oh,
like,
sorry.
You telling me, yeah, but Walt, there are way more New Mutant 98s
out
there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry.
And my answer to that is, yeah, but they're actually way less. There are only four, there are less CGC 99 New Mutants than there are CGC 99 Walking Deads. But yet, Walking Dead still commands $10,000.
See, that's surprising because I would have thought that a 99... A 99 New Mutants 98 with the popularity of Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
I thought that would be...
Should be more.
Should be way more.
But my argument to this is I think this result for Walking Dead may actually legitimize that $12,000 purchase of New Mutants that was original.
Yep.
That it may have been too early. People may have saw it and they go, that guy's an idiot. And then the second time it came around, people like... They oh no, another one came on the census. They're like another 9.8 came on board and another one. Now there's three. There used to be one. It has to be worth half. And
Then
people stopped bidding up to it because there was some sort of almost like a pain threshold, like the perception. But I think what this Walking Dead thing is going is, wait a minute, like there's still only four only five,
and
there are 10 people that want it or whatever.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's still so few of them relative to the demand for
right.
it.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. All right. Well, let's we're going to have a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back and talk about Batman, I believe, right?
No.
All right.
Can we play Batman?
Oh, geez. You know what? Sure.
No, don't play Batman.
Next time. Here's a little, but you know what? Here's your next favorite character, Spider-Man.
I'm telling you, I've said it 100 times. It doesn't get better.
It really doesn't.
That is the best comic music ever.
Yeah, and you know what?
The Krantz Spider-Man stuff is the standard.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and people are probably saying that's not the Spider-Man song, but you know what? That is one of the many songs
yes.
from the Krantz animated Spider-Man cartoon.
Yes, because
love that music.
Is there
love
like an album of that? Available.
There was years ago.
Do you know what an album is, son?
Do you know what records are these days? You know how much they cost? There was, in fact, a CD years ago.
Right.
Where you could get all that stuff. I don't know if it's still available or where.
Probably
you
can find it on eBay or
maybe,
something.
Maybe.
Like
I mean, because that's where I got it. I got it all.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah. Awesome all right. stuff. All right.
Chris, I wanted to move on and talk a little bit about this. You know, you and I, not only are we a winning formula for CFMU.
Well, they are the number one radio station in Hamilton.
We definitely have to review our contract with these guys.
I think so. I think so.
We're going to double what we're making now.
We're adding tens of listeners to their broadcast. Yeah.
All right. But, you know, we're also here to champion the local comic book shop. And we're also here to dissect the local comic book
shop.
Right. We're going to talk a little bit about, I wanted to zero in this week. Now, we haven't really done this before, and it's going to be interesting whether we can pull this off.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about, you know, what a character like, say, it's this week we're going to pick Batman.
Right.
What does Batman mean to a local comic book shop?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, so,
how important is just the one character like Batman?
Okay, so to a local comic book shop. Now, I would think so. A character like Batman, been around since the 30s.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Had movie serials, had TV shows, many cartoons, many action figures, many movies, many comics and books
many.
And novels and all kinds of stuff. Huge and video games. Sorry, I should have talked about that. Now, all these different things, what does it mean to a comic book shop? I mean, how does the character like Batman, what does it mean to the bottom line of a comic book shop?
Like, I think Batman, right now, I think Batman is like pivotal.
Right.
To local. If any, I would guess 9 out of 10 North American comic book shops, Batman, Detective Comics, Batman and Robin, Batman Inc., Batman the Dark Knight, and JLA with Batman.
Right.
Six titles are in their top 20, 25 sellers.
Right.
Revolving around one character.
But
now, also, look at their toy lines.
Yeah.
Look at your local comic book shop toy line. Okay.
I'm looking.
Batman.
Right.
Batman is that one character that people want. The DC director has done such great work.
Yes.
That the collectability of the Batman action figures.
Yeah.
There are 712 different Batman action figures.
Well, you know what's funny is that, you know, even back in the day when I was managing a comic book shop,
yeah,
it was really hard for people to buy all the Batman figures because there were so many. And there's even more now than there was before.
I know.
And this is one of the things that Marvel does, I don't want to say poorly, but...
Say it poorly.
Marvel does it poorly because DC Direct constantly has some sort of Batman figure available for comic book shops to carry.
Something new, too. Right, yeah.
Whereas Marvel, you know, they don't always have
The Marvel
figures.
Legend line was a great line.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
But it came and went, it came and went, right? You know,
well,
and even like, say, the you know, the Batman black and white little resin statue.
Yes, yes.
There's always constantly a new one coming out.
Why can't Marvel put out a new Spider-Man based on the various artists that have done Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So why can't they do, you know, the Steve Ditko Spider-Man, the Todd McFarlane Spider-Man, the John Romita Spider-Man?
Well, look at that. I mean, every single, like... you know how DC does their Batman story arcs, Night of the Owls,
Court
of the Owls,
yep,
or whatever it is.
Yep.
Remember back in Hush, back in this, back in that.
Yep.
It was the Hush Batman, the Owls Batman, the Batman Year 100 Batman. Like it was Batman was being printed.
Right.
They were producing product to supplement it because there are so many Batman fans.
Now I know what some of our fans are going to say.
They're
actually producing all those different types of Batmans because at the time when they first started wanting to produce various Batman action figures and statues, the license to the Batman character was actually already owned by somebody else at the time. So DC kind of circumvented the issue by producing artist versions of the same character, which were not then part of the copyright that was already licensed out to various companies.
All right.
Right? But still a valid point. Why can't Marvel put out the same kind of material?
Yeah.
Right?
It's puzzling. But as, you know, I'm a proprietor of a local comic book shop. And us as a team, we do well with Batman.
Right.
We make sure, I would recommend that any local comic book shop take a walk around their store.
Yeah.
And see how well represented are you with Batman?
Yeah.
Batman is, maybe right now, I'm going to just go out there and say, the most important comic book character in your local comic book shop.
I would, sales-wise, I couldn't agree with you more.
Right. Sales-wise, but not just of comic books. Walking Dead rules the graphic novels.
Right.
But just the graphic novels, right?
Yeah.
Batman is strong in T-shirts. Batman is strong in toys. Batman is strong in graphic novels. Batman is strong in comic books.
Yeah.
Batman is strong in flipping. What are those handcuffs? What do you put in
handcuffs?
Your shirt?
That's down at the Love Shop.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, Batman handcuffs. What do you put in a nice shirt when you put a suit on?
Cufflinks.
Cufflinks.
Right.
Thank you.
Handcuffs?
Or handcuffs.
Whatever,
All right, honey, you're taking me in.
All right, you got a great point.
Walk around your shop there, comic shop guy or girl.
Yeah.
And make sure that Batman is representing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. All right. Well, let's, you know, we're running out of time here. What do we
have?
We got 7 minutes left to go here. Maybe not even. So I think before we sign off for the rest of the day, we really should talk about the fact that, you know, here everybody thought that the comic book season, convention season, I should say, was finished for the for
Thank
2012.
God. I was
for
sick
2012,
of it.
But it's not.
It's not?
It's not done yet. There is a Toronto Comic Con coming up at the Royal York Hotel in Toronto on November 25th between 11 and 5 p.m.
Oh, 11, I'm
11, 11 a.m., 5 p.m. And
that's this Sunday coming up, Chris.
This Sunday.
That's
now,
this Sunday.
Cost is low to get in. It's like $8.
$8.
So you want to go to a movie? It's going to cost you $14. It's going to last 2 hours.
What kind of movies are you going to?
Whatever.
Special ones.
No, regular movies.
Oh, regular movies.
It's like $14 to go to a movie.
$14.
When's the last time you went to a movie?
I don't know.
Hey, you got to stop pirating all those downloads. All right.
Right.
So
if only I knew how to do that, Chris.
So you want to go to, you know, $8 to go to a show. You can spend 6 hours there, get lots of entertainment value out of it.
Get loaded.
I don't know if they have
with
booze
Batman.
There, but Batman. But okay, here's the thing. So they've got
what is the thing?
Clayman is going to be there, who's the artist of
Clayman.
Clay Man. Man is the artist of Gambit is going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Also, Kerry Nord, who was, you know Kerry Nord. You're
yeah,
a Conan fan.
Conan fan, yeah. He's doing Exo Man of War right now.
Yeah, and Mike Del Mundo, who does Venom and Wolverine, is going to be there. Alvin Lee is doing Birds of Prey, and he also used to do, I believe he did Transformers back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know what? There's lots of guests are going to be there, and those are just a few of those people that are going to be there. And Michael Walsh is also – oh, sorry, that's a different thing. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a different thing. No, that Toronto Comic Con, though, be careful, though. It is Grey Cup Sunday.
Yes.
And the Grey Cup is in Toronto. And the Royal York is downtown, right on Front Street. So
if you're going to go, make sure you leave Hamilton about 8 a.m. Yeah. to get there by 11.
3. Yeah. I'd leave at 3:30.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably a good idea. Right. And because it is, as you say, it is Grey Cup Sunday. And not only is it Grey Cup Sunday, it's Grey Cup Sunday, and Toronto is hosting the Grey Cup.
And they're in it.
And they're in the Grey
Woo!
Cup. So it's going to be a crazy day. But you know what? For more information, you can go to hobbystar.com. And, you know, I think for all the advertising we give them, we should get free passes for that show.
I think you're right.
I agree.
I think you're right.
All right. But
I think the good people at Hobbystar, I'm sure, will help us out.
All right.
Yeah, so hopefully you head down there. I'm hoping to go, Chris, yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to go. I'd love to go.
So, hey, if you meet us down there, come say hi.
Absolutely. And we should have set up. We should have set up.
No, we shouldn't. Trust me.
All right.
Anyways. Also, a plug in a way, but not a plug. So, great new book coming out called Come Back Tomorrow from Image Comics.
Called Come Back?
Yeah, Come Back.
Okay.
Michael Walsh, a Hamilton-born artist.
Oh, nice.
Got this great new book called Come Back.
Okay. And he's going to be...
I'm doing our intern. Is it intern? Are you our intern?
Marty's our intern.
Can you grab a comeback real quickly? C-O-M whatever. great new book from Image.
Okay, so hold on. It's summarized by Image Comics as follows. Reconnect is... Reconnect? I thought it was called Comeback.
Yeah, well, Reconnect is anyway, the premise isn't important. It's a really good new series from Image Comics.
The premise is important, but in the
context that we have right now. Because, you know, if we were award-winning radio hosts, I would have recommended that you put this into the new This Week comics this week.
Right.
But I'm just kidding. Anyway,
okay.
He's going to do store signings at Big B Comics Niagara. Today he's actually there today signing the release of the book.
Right,
and,
between 12 and 4. So yeah. If you're listening to it at 12 and yeah. you're in Niagara,
you can still head down. Come on,
and
this Saturday he's in Hamilton
nice.
Signing at Big B, and next Saturday he's in Barrie.
Hold on,
signing at Big
so
B.
Hold on. So the premise of the book here is Reconnect, which is a company, mm-hmm. Can traverse tragedy by sending agents back into the past to rescue your mother, your wife, your brother, your father, your child, moments before. For their untimely deaths. Oh, that's interesting. That's a great idea.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah,
actually,
I like it.
Michael was on Cable 14 Hamilton's
cool.
TV station plugging
nice.
The book and plugging the signing. So we wish him the best of luck. And
absolutely.
It's great that a Hamilton kid has done well.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's, you know what? Let's end it there while we're on a high note, talking about Hamiltonians doing well. And because unfortunately, that is all the time that we do have for today.
All right. Thanks for the sheet here, Chris. Comic Culture, you think I'd memorize this by the 700th time I've said it, is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by our young buck here, Andrew Robach.
Absolutely.
And for comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and scroll down and add comments in the comments field. Also, check us out at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, nothing lasts forever in the cold November rain. We got to really talk to our producer about writing stuff that I really don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, listen, but the most important thing you can leave the show with today is go out and support your local comic book
shop. And really, above all else, have yourself a great day.